in my years of growing up in the church since junior high and over 20 years of ministry, there is one thing that I am absolutely convinced. And that is that in every congregation, there are different kinds of listeners. When I was in youth group going up, there was one guy in youth group. He was a little bit younger than I was. He listened the best when he was drawing cartoon characters. And at the end of the service, he would always have some superhero cartoon character that he had drawn. You would be literally amazed at what a pastor gets to see as he stands up here week after week looking out over the congregation. Yeah. See, from here, you have the opportunity to see some people as they struggle to stay awake, but not today because you've all got extra sleep, right? But in 6 months from now, some of you will be sitting there going, and you'll lose that battle, and you just may not be able to stay awake. Many pastors, they have funny stories to tell of how people have fallen asleep on them in the service. I find a great consolation in the fact that even the Apostle Paul, he had people in his congregation that actually fell asleep on him. But perhaps worse than that, I read that one Sunday during the sermon. A child had settled into her seat with her crayons and her children's bulletin, seated next to her mother. This four-year-old, she kind of looked around at the people who were sitting there. She even played peekaboo with a grandfather figure. She inspected her elbows and kind of fidgeted a little bit. Then finally, she noticed the pastor way down in the front of the church. She leaned over and she whispered to her mama, "Who is that man talking to?" See, I have a great deal of sympathy for those who have to keep from falling asleep. Sometimes it's because of keeping such a hectic schedule that any time they slow down, they tend to fall asleep. Other times, it may be because of medication or maybe even a medical condition. Now, although I do my best, and I know Pastor Frank and Pastor John do, I hope you don't fall asleep because the sermons are just boring. Yeah, someone's back there snoring on me there. Well, we already started it. But falling asleep in the service is not my greatest concern. As I said, it can happen to any one of us for a number of reasons. What does concern me is the number of people who sit in a pew or a chair each week with their bodies wide awake, but their souls sound asleep. Some people pay more attention to commercials on television than they do to the Word of God. Did you know that this is also a problem that Jesus faced? And as we continue our series in Luke that we're going through, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, in a message that is titled, "Are You Ready to Listen?" As Jesus moves from the house of Simon the Pharisee, he continues his ministry in the surrounding region of Galilee. Whole towns empty to come and see this miracle worker in action, to hear his unique message. Our text for this morning picks up at verse 1 of chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Tim will be putting them up here for you if you want to follow that way. And our text reads like this. "After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable." Now, the parallel account that is found in Mark chapter 4, it adds that the crowd that had gathered, that it was so large that Jesus actually got into a boat and he sat in it from the shoreline. It was an impressive scene. One that you might have expected Jesus to be impressed by. You know, such a large crowd. Today, if we drive by a church and we see a large crowd that's gathered there, we kind of conclude that God's work must be done there. But you know, that's not necessarily true. any church in our country could be packed to the gills if it only appealed to the felt needs of today's society. People of the world, they love the good news. As long as it's the good news as they define it. But Jesus, he knew why many people had come to hear him. Some had come merely to sample it, to see what was going on. In fact, some of them had no spiritual interest at all. Perhaps the more frightening of all, some of them, by their repeated hearing of the word and not believing, were becoming hardened to the message of the gospel. Some people today that sit in church around this country have become gospel hardened because they have heard the truth so many times while doing nothing at all about it. It is to these type of people that Jesus now explains the truth through a parable. And this parable, it is so important that it's actually recorded in three of the four gospels. You can find it in Matthew, Mark, and our text today in Luke. So the parable begins at verse 5, and it goes like this. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." The word "hear," it is actually used 9 times in this section, and it means more than just the physical ability to hear. See, hearing here in this means listening with spiritual understanding and receptivity. Luke records that Jesus says, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." Mark records kind of a different emphasis. Mark says that Jesus said, "Be careful what you hear." The emphasis is obviously on the receptiveness of the listener. Jesus is revealing that the condition of one's heart determines whether there is any receptivity to the truth or not. Now the disciples, a little bit later on in verse 9, they ask Jesus what this parable meant. So beginning in verse 11, when Jesus is alone with his disciples, he graciously explained its meaning, and Jesus began by explaining, "The seed is the word of God." See, the seed is a powerful picture of the word of God. Within each little seed, there is an infinite potential for life. In the parallel account that is found in Matthew chapter 13, we learn that he, Jesus, is the farmer. In each case, the seed is exactly the same that is sown, but the soil into which the seed falls is what makes the difference. In this story that we're going through today, there are 4 different responses that are given, along with 4 different causes and 4 very distinct results. As we consider each one of these 4 kinds of hearts, we'll first look at the parable and then at Christ's interpretation of it. So let's begin. The first soil is descriptive of the hard and unreceptive heart. Verse 5 says, "As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up." And then Jesus goes on and he explains this part of the parable in verse 12. "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved." See, as the farmer casts the seed out, some of the seed falls on the roadside and the birds flutter down and they steal it away. Notice with me the characteristic of this ground that that seed falls on. The ground was unbroken and hard. It has been packed. Because it landed on the pathways and the road between the fields, the soil never really received the seed. The seed just bounced off the hard surface, and it lay on top of it, ready to be blown away by the wind or carried away by the birds. These hard, beaten paths are characteristic of the hearts of some people who hear God's word, but because of the busyness in their lives and the constant traffic that is going on in their lives, it has hardened them so that God's word does not stir them. Some hearts are so calloused as to be completely closed to the message of the gospel. The word is stolen away before it can penetrate the hearts of the listener. You see, Satan comes along and he steals the word from their hearts with the reasoning of the world. The hard-hearted man or woman dismisses the truth of the gospel. Now, they may not be hostile to it, but they are just simply uninterested. Their hearts are as hard as nails, and it's dulled by the sheer busyness in their lives. Now the picture, it changes. We move from a hard and unreceptive heart to the shallow and the superficial heart. The parable in verse 6 says, some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. In his explanation in verse 13, Jesus tells the disciples, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The stony ground is not just ground that has rocks on it, but rather it describes ground that is only a few inches thick of soil with bedrock underneath it. So when the seed is sown, it quickly germinates, but it's unable to put down any roots. And then when the sun comes out and rapidly scorches the plant, which came up quickly, but because the plant doesn't have any roots, it's not able to get the water that it needs to survive, and it withers and dies. These listeners respond enthusiastically to the presentation of the gospel, but only because they do not have an adequate grasp of its implications. The problem with the shallow, superficial heart is that it is always ready to follow whatever seems to offer the greatest reward. Many of this caliber turn back because they believe in a gospel that says one should never have to struggle or suffer if they are walking in the will of God. See, they had their emotions stirred, but they made no real commitment in their lives to Christ. They will follow Jesus so far as it makes things better for them, or makes things happier, or maybe makes them more prosperous. The truth is that God has promised to be with us in the mountaintops, as well as down in the valleys, in the good times and in the bad times. See, he has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He did not promise us an easy time. He promised that we will never be alone. Those with a shallow, superficial experience, when the hard times come, they are immediately offended. In other words, they quit. They give up. They walk away. The German theologian Helmut Thickel once commented, "There is nothing more cheering than transformed Christian people. And there is nothing more disheartening than people who have merely brushed by Christianity." People who have been sown 1,000 seeds, but in whose lives there is no depth or rootage. Therefore, they fall when the first whirlwind comes along. It is the half-Christians who always flop in the face of the first catastrophe that happens. Because their dry intellectualism and their superficial emotionalism do not stand the test. So even that which they think they have is taken away from them. This is the wood from which the anti-Christian too are cut. They are almost always former half-Christians. Listen to this last line. A person who lets Jesus only halfway into his heart is far poorer than a 100% worldling. We move on. From the hard, unreceptive heart and the shallow, superficial heart to the busy and the crowded heart. In verse 7, we are told, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. Jesus later explains in verse 14, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. This type of ground is clear on the surface, but underneath, where no one can see, there are all manner of weeds just waiting to spring up. In this life, the word is choked to death. The thorns, Jesus explained, represented life's worries, riches, and pleasures. These three things choke out the word. There are the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of life. And these pleasures can be entertainment, which push God out, or maybe sports or hobbies, which we use to take his place. See, there are many who begin well, and it looks like they are believers. But the love of the world and the concerns for the things of the world and the pleasures of life strangle even the slightest traces of life from their souls. And then finally, the Lord. He goes and he outlines in verse 8 the receptive and the productive heart. It reads like this. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And then Jesus, he goes on in verse 15 and he explains, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. First of all, notice the type of ground, that it is prepared. See, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 in the Old Testament, it says, this is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up your unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. And then in the flip side to that, listen to this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14, it says that King Rehoboam, he did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. Later in chapter 20, verse 33, it says that the people during Jehoshaphat's reign still had not set their hearts on the God of their fathers. We have a responsibility to actively seek the Lord and to do all that we can to avoid those things that cause the word to be unfruitful in our lives. Then and only then will we be productive for the kingdom of God. Rather than grieve for the seed that doesn't produce crop, we should be thankful for the seed that does produce. Now, the three characteristics that are given of good ground is that they hear with a noble and a good heart. Secondly, they retain it, or they hold fast to the word. And then the result is the third characteristic, that they, by persevering, produce a crop. The kind of listener that pleases God is not the one who makes a dramatic start and then quits, or the one whose commitment is slowly choked out by the worldly concerns, but rather the one who thoughtfully hears the gospel, understands its implications, and then consistently grows and matures. And then as a result, it bears a fruit. As we begin wrapping it up this morning, the condition of our heart determines whether we receive the word. So let me ask you this question. What is the condition of your heart this morning? See, the abiding principle in hearing God's word is to use it or lose it. Or maybe even more appropriately put, do it or lose it. You see, hearing is absolutely worthless if it does not result in doing. If we do not put into practice the truth that we have heard, then it's going to fade away. We won't retain it. So has God impressed on you someone that you should go and apologize to? Then go and apologize to them. Has God impressed upon you someone that you should forgive? Then go and forgive them. Has God impressed on your heart someone that you should share the truth with? Then by all means, go out and share the truth with that person. Has God impressed on you that there is a practice in your life that you need to stop? Then stop thinking about it and go out and do it. Or maybe stop doing it. Has God impressed on you to send a note of thank you or maybe a word of encouragement to somebody? Then set aside some time, write that note, and get it sent. Has God impressed on you that you are to stop what you are doing and serve Him? Then stop rationalizing, looking for signs, coming up with excuses, stop running away and serve Him. The worship team is going to come up and lead us in a time of worship. And what I want you to do, you can sing along with them if you want, you can sit and listen, is I want you to listen for God to speak. See, does Jesus show up here every week and He says, hey, I have something to tell you. Hey, I have something to share with you. I want you to listen. To listen for God's voice. To listen for God. Is He speaking to you? Is He impressing something upon your heart? Something that you need to do or maybe stop doing? I invite you to worship with us and then to respond as you are led.